Welcome to the Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
Do you have faith for souls to be saved? Do you, now don't take your finger and point to your home cell leader or the leader. Do you personally have faith for souls to be saved? And there's no age restriction on this. There's no expiry date on this word. You don't have to be a certain age for this word. This word is for all people from young to old. Do you have faith for souls to be saved? So how do we get that faith? Let's look over here. Matthew 9:35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the good news. My friends, maybe for some of us, just some, I'm not saying we must live with our head underneath the sand. Maybe some of us should just relax on News 24 a little bit. Yeah, because the thing that comes out of my mouth all the time is News 24. I read the news. I'm just saying maybe we should just relax a little bit. Just a little bit. Let God talk to you in that area. Jesus went preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. That's radical. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Anybody and everybody that does not have Jesus is like a sheep harassed by the devil, the enemy. Only once they got Jesus can they come into the fold and be cared for. No Jesus, lots of harassment on them. Then he said to his disciples, do you have faith for souls to be saved? Here comes the answer. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. He called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. You see, Jesus took these disciples. He went to them. He called them. Come follow me. They dropped everything and they started to follow Jesus. Then Jesus started to teach him how to live life. Now he talks about the beatitudes, what our attitudes should be. He spoke to them about being the salt and the light. You know, light attacks darkness. Light doesn't mingle in. Light attacks darkness. When we put on the light, the darkness flees. We chase away darkness. Then the salt. I come from Cape Town. Whenever I cut myself and I hurt myself, my dad says, I'm taking you to the beach. Go swim and have fun. I'll go swim, come out, and my sores are healed. I say, good. Cheap medical aid. And take me home. You see, salt brings healing. Salt preserves. We are to bring healing and preserve in the place where we are working. Then he spoke to them about judging. Then he spoke to them about, this is a difficult one, praying for your enemies and loving your enemies. Then he taught his disciples how to pray and fast and give. Then we come to this portion of scripture. This is massive. This is like climbing up the mountain and you reach the top. This is taking the maintenance cap that we wear off and putting on the faith cap for multiplication. That's what Jesus is doing. Some of us must take our maintenance cap off. We are not called just to maintain what we have, make it nice, look pretty. We are called for massive growth. Massive. Out of control growth. Where you look and you think, what's going on? That's what we're called to do, but it takes faith. We have to take and put on the faith cap for multiplication. When you look at your finances, hey God, let's multiply it. I want to tithe more and I want to sow and I want to get souls saved. If you've got a little gift of making someone laugh, Lord, I want to multiply that in the family of God. If you've got a prophetic gift, I want to multiply that in the family of God. If you can lead, I want to multiply that in the family of God. I want to move into multiplication, the faith cap. That's what Jesus is doing right here. You see, If my wife comes to me in the morning, which she doesn't do, and she says to me, go to the shop and buy bread. We don't eat bread really, but anyway. And if I don't believe in my heart that there's bread in the shop, am I going to go? No. I look and say, there's no bread. Go to the shop and buy bread. Darling, there's no bread in the shop. I'm telling you this bread. No, there's no bread. Go away from me. But if I believe there's bread in the shop, I will hop in my car, I will go to a shop, and if there's no bread in that shop, and I know there's bread out there, I'll just go to the next shop until I find bread. You see, the believing for souls to be saved will get us to knock that mountain, will get us to run through the window, will get us to run out there, will get us to go and get people saved. Because we are convinced and persuaded under God that people are ready. It's the faith in our heart that will shift the thing. We need faith. You see, so do we have faith? What did Jesus do to his disciples? Now, these weren't Mickey Mouse disciples. This is the apostles, the manne, the groot boys. You see, the kingdom works on words. Faith. He looks at his disciples. He reveals his heart to them. I've got compassion on people. And that compassion is a deep empathy, love. Hey, I've got compassion. He looks at his disciples and he says, the harvest is plentiful. That word harvest is not this. Go and you clean the land and we plant a seed and we wait for the rain and we look. Okay, it's growing. Okay, now. That's not that word. It's this. There's a bunch of millies. They already grown. This is what it means. I go and gather it. Ark! And I bring it. Because it's ready. I have discovered under God and become persuaded that people are ready. I was 13, about 12 years ago. And now I'm really persuaded that people are ready for the gospel. I went to Germany, they said, my father-in-law is German, Robert Meinberger. No, the Germans are different. I said, really? I said, yeah, he says, they're not that easy to get saved. So we go there, share the gospel, believe, and there's a response. Go to Holland with Anton Kater. They put me next to a scientist in their church. Wow, that guy's not in the church no more, but anyway. So we go to a shop and we start leading people to Jesus and the Spirit of God just touches him. And I'm in this home cell. I tell the guy the story. He's a scientist. No, no, no. The only reason why they believe you is because you're South African. I said, what? All kind and polite and bless you. And I thought, I'm going to sit somewhere else. This guy's going to like kill my faith here, man. The point is, if we've got faith, it works everywhere, nonstop. So then they said to me, no, you know, like Italians and Portuguese and those people are not really ready for the gospel type thing. I said, really? So I phoned my friend in church. I said, listen, yeah, can you arrange for me to go to an old age home? All right? Now, older people in our old age home are going to see the Lord sooner than me. And if they've been rejecting Jesus their whole life, and if they've been rejecting Jesus for their whole life, then that means when I go in, they're probably going to say no. So I tell my friend in Edenvale City, can you make an arrangement? Yeah, yeah. So we buy chocolate cakes. I've discovered I can't just give lots of cake to older people in an old age home because some of them have like diabetic sugar problems. Anyway, so we go to an old age home. I get a guy from our church, yeah, pastor killing old people, sugar overdose, not good. So I phoned the worship leader at our church. Listen, don't you want to come with me? What are we going to do? No, we're going to have a church meeting in the old age home. You just sing. Okay, cool. We get there, and as I get to this old age home, this is a very nice old age home. It is stunning. This is like almost like 4-star luxury. I was like, wow. I walk in there, I think, do they really know what I'm going to do? The Chinese lady comes to me. I think, ooh, just I'm going to be in trouble here. She goes, what are you doing? No, don't worry. We're just going to share a message of hope. She said, a message of hope? Yeah, and give them cake and just love them and celebrate them. She goes, just that? I said, yes, just that. I'm thinking to myself, once she finds out what I'm going to do, I'm going to get locked up here. Because there was no arrangement. But my message of hope is about Jesus. So anyway, we get the cakes. I hear an announcement. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Everybody, 2 o'clock, there's a party in this room. Come. I'm like, yeah, party. This is good. And the oldies are coming in, some in the electric chairs, Italians and Portuguese and Jewish people, and they're all filling this place up. And then we lock the door and it's jam-packed. Jam-packed. There's a church there, but no one's going to the church. Nobody. And they're all coming in this room. So I'm thinking, when I open up my mouth, I'm going to be in trouble here. So my friend stands up and he sings, only knowing that they're not singing with him. And they're like, what's this now? I thought it's a party. He's worshiping. I think, well, she's not going down well. Now I'm stressing. And this Chinese lady that's the supervisor is watching me. I think, oh, I'm in trouble here. He sings another song, and they're just not singing. I think, oh, this is going to go down well. I stand up. I share my testimony. The Spirit of God moves. I share the gospel message. I do an altar call. These little hands go up. Yeah! We lead them to Jesus. They respond to the gospel message. Then there's one Jewish guy, and I go and sit down, and I start chatting to him. He says, I'm Jewish. I don't believe this. So I said, let's be real. You're going to die before me. Honestly. Now, you go in there. There's a heaven, there's a hell. The only way you get in is through Jesus. You know what? You're right. Boom, he gives his life to the Lord. Then we start giving these oldies cake. I get into trouble. Be careful how much cake you're giving them. Because of sugar problems. Then the Chinese lady comes to me. I think, here we go. I'm going to quickly run out now. She says to me, I saw exactly what you done. I said, ooh, yep. She says, you know what? They need this. They need this. You know what happened? They put the article in 2 newspapers. Spreading the joy in 2 newspapers. And we have people in there now doing discipleship. Just yesterday, a lady, Fatima, a Portuguese lady, goes and leads a 97-year-old Jewish person to Jesus, another one. Why am I saying that? The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. You see, we need in our churches multitudes coming in and getting saved. Then we need us going out and sharing the good news of Jesus. We have a granny. I have a granny in the public evangelism team. She's like gray. We equip her. We give her a microphone. And she's preaching people, leading people to Jesus nonstop. We can't stop her now, which is great. We need to be released to go and share the good news of Jesus in our world. You know, I love going to missions trips, going over the border. But can I say this? Tomorrow morning, Monday, every single one of you are waking up and you're going to work. We are going on a mission trip then. You are going on a mission trip. Monday morning, you are going into the IT world. Monday morning, you're going into the farming world. Monday morning, you're going into the media world. Those places is where Jesus wants us to preach the gospel there, to bring change, to breathe the soul, to breathe the light, to get them saved there, and to bring them back into the fold. We are called. You know, that's your ministry even. That place where God has placed you is a place where he wants you to change it. You know, when I was working in the marketplace, Monday morning I put my shoes on and I'm going on a mission now to preach the gospel at work. We, once in our office, we like to pray. So we were praying at work. I had 1-2 friends. And once I was walking through the at the back room, one lady hits the floor and she starts manifesting and a demon comes out. I think, well, this is going to be interesting. At work in the accounting department, we sort that thing out quickly. Another guy, he's gone to go and plant a church now in Alberton, Bergen. Berger contacts me, because we don't want to be alone with the woman in the room. He says, listen, yeah, can you come downstairs? I'm in the boardroom. I need you to help me with something. So I said, okay, good, I'm coming down. And as I come down, there's a lady in the boardroom. Behind him is the CEO and the accounting department. So I look, I say, hello. Where's Berger? No, he's coming. I get a bit of a fright. I think he's setting me up now. They're going to sit in this room with this lady. Eventually, Berger comes. So there's a desk over there, table. Berger sits there, and the lady's sitting over there. In this boardroom is the lady. I sit on the edge, and I'm just watching this thing. I'm thinking maybe it's like a discipline case. So Berger says to her, Jesus, this lady freaks out. She stands up, her lip goes over, and she does all these funny body movements. I think, what's this? Oh, I click, it's a demon coming out. I think, oh my goodness, I'm at work. When you go to work, you must have faithful souls to be saved. We've got to change that place. Go into all the world. Anyway, I stand up, I say, in Jesus' name, sit down. I look at Berger and I say, Berger, we can't do this here. She gets up, she leaves. Berger's face is white. He looks like he saw a ghost. I go sit next to him, I'm like, Berger. I think, you sneaky, eh? You playing a prank on the two of yous. He's white. White, white, white. He goes, I've never seen that in my life. So what we do is, we take the woman, we go and chat to the CEO, and we take this lady to my mother-in-law, my late mother-in-law, Marianne. Some of you know her. And we take the girl to my mother-in-law, and Marianne says, she was an amazing lady. While she's talking to this lady, this thing's just like manifesting. She's like, oh, you're so cute, I love you so much. I'm like, how can you hug her? I got such a fright. I really got such a fright. We sorted her out, we helped her, everything was hunky-dory. Then we chat to the CEO. Now in this company, people are scared. Demons are coming out in this company. We are like the Ghostbusters. Who are you gonna call? Nee, 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 nee. You know what happened then? We arranged in this company for a discipleship process because people are so scared. Opportunity seized. People learning about the Word of God in the marketplace, getting them into local church. Opportunity. I want to encourage you. If we believe that God wants to save people through us, our language changes, our actions change, our speech changes, our prayer life changes. It changes. Everything changes when we can believe. If you believe you're called to be an accountant, then we go and study that line. If you believe that God wants to save people through you, in the midst of everything we are doing, we start to do that then. Praying, confessing, believing, inviting people to church. How you outwork that is all under the leading of the Holy Spirit. And can I say this? Lots of Holy Spirit in our meetings means this. Lots of people being saved. Lots of Holy Spirit in our meetings means lots of people being saved. Why? When we look to this book, the book of Acts, what did Jesus say to us? But we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us to be a witness. We are missing this sometimes. We want to fall over. We want to experience the presence. I love God's presence. We want to just enjoy God's presence. But can I say, question mark? If you experience in the presence of God and there's no love for the lost, something's missing. The Holy Spirit loves to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit loves people being saved. The Holy Spirit loves to make us a witness. The Holy Spirit loves to empower us to be the witness. Christ in us and Christ through us. Something's missing then. Something's missing. You've got to ask the Lord. And it's probably this. Sometimes what we do is we burn our conscience off in a certain area that we don't want God to speak in that area. We numb the voice. God's saying today, lift it off. Lift it off. Lift it off. He's saying for some of you are saying, but hang on, I'm like a milk carton. I've been expired. Expiry. There is no expiry. There's only enlistment. You are recruited now. All of yous. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. This is what I believe is what we should be seeing on a regular basis. I took a glimpse of the book of Acts and I looked at the outpouring of the Spirit. And my faith has just grown. I said, God, I want that. Listen to this. The original group was 120. 3,000 more got saved at Pentecost. Wow. Now, we're not into numbers. Just think how this city will be changed if that happens. Fear is out the window. Racism, corruption, values of property goes up. People are paying their bills. People are working with integrity. People are being kind, friendly. Crime is dropping. They want to start asking the policeman not to come to work because there's no work for them. 3,000. Acts 2:47, people got saved to the church daily. I'm crying out to God for this. I'm crying out to God nonstop. Lord, we need more people in our churches saved. This is the heartbeat of Christianity. Get them saved, make a disciple. And can I say with all due respect, I don't want to be rude. It's not really about you or me. How many strokes and pats on the back must we get from the pastor? Yeah, but you must just love me a little bit more and hug me a little bit more and kiss me a little bit more. So you, yeah. That's nice. But how much do you want? How much do you need? Whatever you need from somebody else, go and do that with the lost. God will meet that need. Soon there were 5,000 men plus women and children. Acts 4:4. There's a place for you to get healing in the church, but only a season. There needs to come a time where we lay in the hospital with the plasters, we roll over, and we get the rifle, the gear, the equipment. We are enlisted into a war. Not a luxury boat. It's a warship. Where we're contending for the souls of people to be discipled. We don't have time to play games, really. We don't have time for gossip and slander and all that stuff. We just have time to love each other, to pray for each other, encourage each other, and get souls saved and disciple them. Acts 6:1, addition was turned to multiplication. Acts 8:12, Samaritans got saved, cross-culture, different people groups. Acts 8:38, an Ethiopian was saved. Acts 9:35, entire towns were converted to Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to give my life to this. Eh? When I was working in the marketplace, I gave my life to this. I didn't want to leave my job, honestly. Why? I had more influence and opportunity to preach people in the marketplace and in the church. Something needs to shift in our hearts. My friends, one day we'll see Jesus face to face, and the precious people that we led to Jesus and discipled are going to be there.